Father's coming, and children enter in. Then we'll hear a choir of angels singing out the victory song. All our troubles will be ended, and we'll live with heaven's throng. Just a little while to stay here, just a little while to wait, just a little while to labor in the path that's always straight. Just a little more of trouble in this growing sinful state. Then we'll enter heaven's portals, sweeping through the pearly gates. Soon we'll meet our redeemed ones, and we'll take them by his hand. Soon we'll pass them in the bosom, over in the promised land. Then we'll be at home forever, throughout all the eternity. What a blessed, blessed morning, that eternal morning will be. Just a little while to stay here, just a little while to wait, just a little while to labor in the path that's always straight. Just a little more of trouble in this sinful state. Then we'll enter heaven's portals, sweeping through the pearly gates.
If you would, on this afternoon, open your Bibles up to the book of Ephesians, the chapters 4, verses 26 and 27. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27. And the Bible reads, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." Brother Romeo Emil has studied and prepared a lesson entitled, "Anger Without Sin." Brother Romeo Emil.
Let the church say, man, let the church say, man, let the church say, amen, amen, amen.
Good afternoon, church. I just wanted to thank Brother Cooper before I started to allow me to come back up here in front of you all and to share with you what I've prepared over, I guess, the past week. It's nothing long, so I don't plan to keep you all here forever or anything. But my topic is anger without sin. It's 8 a.m. on Monday morning. You're tired, but you're also behind schedule for getting to work because your alarm didn't go off. You hop in the shower immediately and start getting ready to start the day. You're in your car on the highway, and everyone's driving like they're scared to do more than 45 miles per hour. You haven't had time to make your coffee, your breakfast bagel, or even pack your healthy lunch. And worst of all, you're already 20 minutes late for work. You're mad. There are many different ways people will handle this situation. Some may just turn on the radio to calm them down. Others may call their boss and report that traffic is holding them up in an annoyed tone. Some may start beeping their horn as if it were going to blast everyone out of their way. Others may even hang out of their window and start cussing and throwing a fit. The bottom line is, getting angry or upset in life is inevitable. But the way we handle it depends on us as a person. In the New King James Version of Proverbs, chapter 29, verse 11, it reads, "A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back." Getting angry isn't a sin. We all have emotions, and it's a part of how God created us. However, handling our anger the wrong way can lead to sin. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 to 27, it reads, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold." In your anger, do not sin implies that, yes, we will get angry from time to time, and God expects that. But letting your anger overtake you and lead to sin is wrong. There are even examples of time God has gotten angry in the Bible. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 11, it reads, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'How long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me? With all the signs I have performed among them.'" The Israelites made God angry because they refused to go to the promised land because they feared the Amorites, giant men who inhabited the land. The reason this angered God was because he did so much for them. He fed them manna from the sky, gave them water from a rock, and led them toward their destination with a cloud in the day and a pillar of fire by night. Even with all the blessings and generosity God showed them, they didn't trust him enough. They somehow didn't realize that no matter what, God would always look out for his people if they obeyed and pleased him. Even though this infuriated God, he dealt with them in a controlled manner. He revoked the permission of anyone over the age of 20 to see the promised land and made them wander the desert for 40 years. We are created in the image of God and would experience the same strong anger that he did. There are various ways to deal with anger. A great way for us to control our anger is through prayer. Asking God for patience during a situation or stressful time in our lives is the best option we could choose. Some people also like to meditate or even count to 20. There are some people that could count to 20 million and still be ready to punch a hole in the nearest wall. We see various examples of humans who have gotten angry in the Bible. They let their anger get the best of them. One example is Cain. Cain and Abel, the first two sons of Adam and Eve, brought sacrifices to God one day. Abel brought fat portions from a newborn of his flock, and Cain brought God fruit from the ground. God accepted Abel's sacrifice, but not Cain's. This fueled Cain's anger. Even though God warned that his anger would lead to sin, as it says in Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, where it reads, "And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." Cain didn't heed God's warning. Cain's anger led him to kill his brother Abel. Cain could have easily avoided the trouble he caused himself by not being overtaken by his fury that led him to sin. He let his anger blind him from seeing that there were so many ways he could have handled himself in that situation. Cain is the perfect example of how we shouldn't carry ourselves in stressful or aggravating situations. We must always remember that God is with us in all we do, and that we should strive to be as close to him as we possibly can. Sometimes that slow driver in the morning may just need us to be patient with him or her because they're having a bad morning too. Instead of showing your rage, show your love and godliness. Thank you for your time and attention this afternoon, and may God bless you all to have patience and self-control in moments of temptation to sin in anger. Thank you.
God's word will never pass away. God's word will never pass away. And it makes no difference what the people say. God's word will never pass away.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Emil, for that message in a very tough topic, anger without sin. Actually, I have a hard time coming behind him because his voice so deep.
Yeah.
I come up here sounding like a youth, and he sounds like Papa up here. But excellent message, very hard topic, and we're going to be all tested tomorrow morning on that one. I know I will be. With that being said, I just want to follow up based on his stance, because my topic this morning, what he just demonstrated, my topic, the worthwhile challenges, and that was a challenge for him to come before you and bring that message. But it was worthwhile, wasn't it? Amen. And so I just want to share how God prepared him to deliver that message, and I won't hold you long. Amen. He set the right pace. But it's four things I just want to talk about, how God prepared Brother Emil's heart and then anyone's heart that is ready to take on a challenge through gaining wisdom, because that's what he demonstrated. And one was he had the right heart. His heart was prepared to come. And that reminds me of someone in the Bible, Ezra. In Ezra 7, around verse 10, it says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and not just to seek it, but to do it." And that's what this young man did. He seek God's word, and he done it. He delivered it. And then, not only he delivered it, but he did it in a way where he can teach you the statutes and other ordinances of God's holy and righteous word by him studying it and preparing his heart. Also, 1 Peter 2, we look at Brother Emil as a newborn babe, a young Christian. He was driven by God's word, and he's growing in God's word. And when he's driven and he's growing in it, he could take moments like this when he prepared to deliver God's holy and righteous word. And basically what you see was him taking on the word and girding it up, girding his loins, in the right mind, sober, and really fully prepared for God's grace to be brought to the revelations of what Jesus Christ have in store for us. So the topic again, anger without sin, and I had said to him, that's a very, very tough topic, but the way he prepared and the way he delivered it hit home for us all this day. Again, he prepared his heart not just through the word, but to seek, meaning to live it. And you see him today, and when he was with us in the fellowship, again, his presence among the other young Christians, you could see how he prepared and then seek God's word and was ready to deliver it. He preached out of Ephesians. In Ephesians 5, it says, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." And again, we seen what the will of the Lord is through this young man. One thing he's demonstrated, and he's going to be challenges, which is in Romans, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect at the will of God. See, he's a college student, those who may not know. And in college, young people will be studying many books, but there's one book that he looked at today. Yes. It was God's word, and he delivered God's word. And we encourage all our young people to look at God's word no matter where he set you upon this earth. Ezra also prepared his heart to do, which we've seen Brother Emil do as well. He prepared his heart to do the will, to come in front of us. We all should seek to know God's will and to do it. And then lastly is Ezra prepared his heart to teach. And the same thing this brother did, he was able to teach, not just to teach something that was interesting, but something that God put in his heart to share with us, is to sin without anger. Notice too that Ezra has a proper order of things. Not like some who teach before and learn the law and before they are willing to do it. He went through God's word. He prepared it. He got his heart right, his mind set, and to do it. Looking at him, he's ready to teach God's holy and righteous word. And for you to teach God's holy and righteous word, you have to gain wisdom and understanding. And I thank Brother Emil for coming this day with that knowledge, demonstrating not only to us, but to other young people, what God can do when you gain wisdom through his holy and righteous word. So at this time, I'm going to invite those who haven't obeyed God's word. I'm going to invite you to, through God's plan of salvation, if you haven't been obedient to his word. He has 5 steps and 1 plan. The plan of salvation. And in those steps is, one is hear his word, and then believe in his word, and to repent of the sins that you committed against God, and to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then be baptized. If you haven't obeyed this, God gives you this opportunity, this moment, this opportunity not to be angry and sin. If you are a Christian and you sinned, or you haven't lived your life according to God's will, you have that opportunity again this afternoon to come to the body and make it known. Or if you're a Christian and need prayers for strength, for wisdom, for understanding, God will hear that as well. So we ask at this time that you come as we sing the song of invitation.
There's a fountain for it is for you and me. Let us taste, oh, haste to the brink. 'Tis a fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty souls. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all.